Japan by Poetry Magazine. For over 90 years, a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Sunday. It's the 2nd of December, 2007. It was on this day, 1942, scientists working on the Manhattan Project at the University of Chicago conducted the first ever man-made nuclear reaction under the leadership of an Italian emigre, Enrico Fermi, who had realized that if you split an atom with a neutron, it would produce more neutrons who could then split other atoms and so on, creating a chain reaction. So he and his assistants built a makeshift nuclear reactor in a squash court near the university's football field, constructing a pile of uranium bricks interspersed with graphite blocks. A couple of young physicists stood on a scaffold over the pile with buckets of liquid cadmium as an emergency measure in case there was a meltdown. They started the reaction at 9:45 a.m., withdrawing the cadmium rods so the uranium neutrons would begin splitting atoms. The Geiger counters started to click, and the clicking grew faster and faster until they finally began to make a sound like a roar. Finally, Fermi announced that the reaction had reached critical mass, and they reinserted the rods to shut it down. People applauded. They celebrated with paper cups of Chianti. It's the birthday of George Saunders, born in Amarillo, Texas, 1958, author of a whole series of surreal satires, including Civil War Land in Bad Decline, Pastoralia, and his most recent book, The Braindead Megaphone. It's the birthday of novelist Ann Patchett, Los Angeles, 1963. Her first big success was the novel Bel Canto. And it's the birthday of T. Corrugeson Boyle, born in Peekskill, New York, 1948. He took a creative writing class in college in which everyone else was writing obscure poems, but Boyle wrote a play about a couple whose son is eaten by an alligator. He's now published almost 20 books of fiction. His most recent novel is Talk Talk. It came out last year. T. Corrugeson Boyle, who said, "My goal is to make literature interesting, sexy, to bring literature back to the jaded, dull American masses, especially the young people." Here's a poem for today by Phoebe Hansen, "Eating a Mango Over the Kitchen Sink." It's the only way to do it, even though Melody, my Weight Watchers lecturer, has admonished us against the over-the-sink method of eating. Use your best china and silver, sit down, light candles, eat slowly. But a mango is a different story. Impossible to eat, except leaning over the sink, tropical juice dripping down my pale Minnesota winter wrists as I gaze out at snow raging against my windows like the storms of my childhood. How I used to love them when everything shut down, schools, stores, post office, bank, and churches. "I suppose the pool hall's open," my father said, knowing some in his congregation preferred that haven to church. Our whole family clustered together, joyful over a free day, and even my stepmother seemed happy, made cinnamon toast and cocoa with marshmallows instead of the slimy oatmeal we all hated but had to eat. And my father postponed his sermon writing to join us after supper in the living room while we listened to Lux Radio Theater, forgetting homework, sermons, the dirty clothes in the basement, waiting on the cement floor. For once, we were all contented, sitting together on our old Davenport, even though not one of us had ever tasted a mango. A poem by Phoebe Hansen, "Eating a Mango Over the Kitchen Sink," from her collection Why Still Dance, published by Noden Press, and used by permission here in the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can read selections from the current issue of Poetry online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Robert McGinley Myers. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.